Hopefully everyone here loves the great Redeemer as we have just sung, sing the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. We're thankful for God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And I guess for those who are here this morning and maybe heard me say, maybe in a rush, that apes don't produce humans. And apparently I slipped up and said that this morning. So as far as you saw in all the notes, and clear that apes produce apes and humans produce humans, and it doesn't cross over, as we dealt with how wrong theory of evolution is, and God created everything good. Well, as we look at this hymn, the great Redeemer, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7. What's unusual about this, as far as Francis Foster, as far as history goes, as far as what I could find out, he just wrote a few hymns and it's unknown, written about 1915. And Samuel W. Beasley in that same year had arranged this. But as we consider the words of the hymn, they're wonderful words to think about and to consider. How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till my earthly life is ended, I will send songs above. Then beside the crystal sea, more and more my soul shall be praising Jesus and his love. And the Old Testament talks much about the great Redeemer. Redeemer, as far as you think about God redeeming, of course, concerning Israel and the messianic prophecies, especially in the book of Isaiah. But we're going to look at just a couple here in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah 1 in verse 18, where the scripture says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." As we think about the sometimes concerning the invitation, Isaiah 1 and verse 18, concerning being redeemed from our sins so that we might be pure and that we might be holy in Jesus Christ through his precious blood. In Isaiah chapter 41, in Isaiah 41 and verse 21 and following, Isaiah 41 and verse 21, verse 21. "Present your case," the Lord says. "Bring forward your strong arguments," the King of Jacob says. "Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming." And I apologize, that's not the verses I was looking for. We'll look in Isaiah 44 and verse 24. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone." As you think about concerning the Redeemer, he has done so much for each and every one of us. Titus 2 verse 14, as you talk about God's grace, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession who are zealous for good deeds. He has purchased our redemption. He's going to continue to say in the second stanza there. We love him because of what? Because he first loved us. So we see his example. We see his love. We see his sacrifice. He has done so much for us. We should rejoice and love to tell the story. In Mark chapter 5, we see the rejoicing here. In Mark chapter 5, in verse 20, here as you see this individual is demon-possessed who is healed, and Jesus had said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim at Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Now, I understand this is a physical thing, and we rejoice as we think about those prayers that God has answered on our behalf, especially as we think about concerning family members, as we consider Kenneth Starnes and the heart transplant, and we consider those who have been gained better health and are able to worship here together in spirit and in truth, as we think about all the suffering that has gone on through all the trials. And so if you think about the joy that is there as far as physical healing and getting stronger and getting healthier, how much more spiritually, as we with joy should tell the story of the love that makes men free. The only way that we're going to be free is through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, in John chapter 8, in verse 31, the Apostle John says these words in John chapter 8, in verse 31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." As you think about slaving, being in slavery to sin and to be free from sin, here is the joy that we should have, that we are free from sin. As we think about concerning when we were in bondage to sin and how we were without hope and without God in this world and how terrible that feeling must have been. But here somebody taught us the truth, whether our parents, our brother, our sister, aunt or uncle or friend or classmate, co-worker, neighbor, whoever it might have been. And so here is the joy that we should have as we think about the gospel. Well, maybe they're going to reject it. It's their loss. It's not our loss. As for we recognize concerning what Christ has done for us, how long are we going to do that? Well, until our life ends. The Apostle Paul had that mindset. He had been forgiven of so many sins, and so have we. In Philippians chapter 1, in Philippians chapter 1, even as he is in prison, and there are some who are wanting to cause him strife, even while he is in prison and preaching the gospel. In verse 18, and wanting to cause him distress in his imprisonment. Verse 18, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body," notice it, "whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." The Apostle Paul, as he is suffering in the flesh, and even as he's trying to do good, sometimes when you think about it, as you are suffering and people aren't doing right by you, you're being faithful to the Lord. You are suffering for the cause of Christ. And some have are selfish and want to cause you distress, want to bring you down. Well, you remember concerning what the Apostle Paul said here, as you look upon his concern was the gospel is proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. He had the joy of telling the story, the love that makes men free. And he did it for all of his life, whether he lives or whether he dies. he was going to praise the Lord and live for him every day of his life. In Colossians 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." What a joy it is to be able to sing songs above, to send those songs above, to praise Him with all of our hearts for all that He has done for us, as we see in the first stanza concerning how much we love and we have the opportunity to share the joys that we have in our heart, to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, as He has given everything for us. In Revelation chapter 4, the Apostle John, in the throne scene in heaven, and he's showing him these things, and the one sitting on the throne, and we see his appearance here, verse 3. He was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. You think about that scene and you think about being beside the crystal sea and be able to praise Him forever. We're in chapter 22, in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 1, notice what the Apostle John says there, in Revelation 22. "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." You think about the beauty and the peace that is there as we think about from a physical standpoint, and to be able to sing praises. "More and more my soul shall be," as we think about through our lives throughout all of eternity, praising Jesus and His love. For in Revelation 1 and verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. In chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, as we see here, the 144,000 having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads. Verse 2. "And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one can learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." We just sang high above the seraphim. We talk about the living creatures praising the Lord. Here you look upon the 144,000. And here is the great Redeemer. We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Is there anything greater that we could be purchased with? You know, people, you know, pay and buy. Unfortunately, people are slaves and purchase slaves, as we think about in the past concerning our country and from before what we read in the scriptures. and people are bought and paid for with money to do their bidding, but to recognize concerning that we have been purchased with an innumerable price, priceless, the blood of Christ. As we live here upon this earth, we should always be praising Jesus and his love for us. Oh, how I love the great Redeemer, each and every one of us should be able to say. He has purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and it's walking on beside me, growing dearer day by day. That is why I sing his praises. That is why joy is mine. That is why forevermore on the everlasting shore I shall sing of love divine. We looked at that Ephesians 1 verse 7 passage right at the beginning. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In Acts chapter 20, as the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the scripture says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." As you think about sometimes individuals, you look upon the church, say it's really of no importance at all. And yet, how could it be of no importance if Christ purchased it with his own blood? It's meaningless. Not a part of our salvation. You talk to your denominational friends, so our church has nothing to do with salvation. Well, that's not the church you read about in the Bible, is it? Because you look at those in the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 individuals that were willing to be baptized for the remission of their sins. The Lord added the saved to the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, he has purchased my redemption, and my sins have been rolled away. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 15, the Hebrew writer says this by inspiration. He said, "When Christ appears a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctifying for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have our sins rolled away. The burden has been lifted. He will remember those sins no more. He mentioned that in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. The fulfillment of the prophecy in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. You think about sometimes being lonely, being depressed, and being discouraged. As far as being a Christian, we might recognize and forget that the Lord is there. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we may confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" If you remember, that was the reading in Psalm 56. We read that this morning in the reading of the scripture from Bruce this morning, in the quotation of that passage. The Lord is with us. We're doing what is right, so we can be content with what we have been given. As we have prayed, we have been blessed beyond measure. As we think about concerning our lives, and the Lord is with us, and as we look, no matter what is happening in our lives, shouldn't we be, as we think about that we sang in that stanza, that no growing dearer day by day? Is he growing dearer by day by day? If we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter 3 verse 18 commands, he will be growing dearer to us every day. For what are we doing when we look at the Word of God? If we walk in the light as he himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 in verse 7. What a great blessing it is as we can walk in the light, walk in the truth of God's word, walk in his love, do the things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonian brethren, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." As you think about concerning these brethren, you notice concerning their faith grew even stronger. To whereby some of the most precious times you think about concerning your life are being able to struggle through a trial, a temptation, a discouragement, a frustration, a division in the church, whatever it might be, and that the Lord helped you through it, and you can still sing his praises. That is why I sing his praises. That is why joy is mine. In James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises." We remember concerning the Apostle Paul and Silas are singing praises while they are in prison. They were beaten for the cause of preaching the gospel. And yet, as remember that, as a result of that experience, being in prison, a Philippian jailer who is about to kill himself, commit suicide, as in God's providence, there was an earthquake. "Don't hurt, harm yourself. We're all here. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he and his household were baptized. You see, concerning singing his praises, joy is mine, the opportunity that even through suffering that they could save a precious soul and their family. As you think about the precious group of the Philippian brethren that were to the Apostle Paul. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, Psalm 16 and verse 11, what the psalmist says by inspiration here, Psalm 16 verse 11, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Oh, the joy of salvation. We should sing of love divine because he has purchased our redemption. We've been forgiven of our sins, which we don't deserve that, but through his precious blood, his sacrifice, we can be saved. So we should sing of his love. In Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, "They sang a new song saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" The thing is, as we look upon Christ who was slain, and we see that no matter who you are, man or woman, slave or free, that we can be saved. We can all sing of love divine. It isn't a matter concerning your status among men, whether you're a politician or somebody who has a lot of power or riches. No, we can all sing of love divine for those who are faithful Christians. And stanza number 3, "Glory be to him forever, endless praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me what I am. Oh, that everyone would know him. Oh, that all would adore. Oh, that all would trust the love of the mighty friend above and be his forevermore." You look joyfully to the day, be able to sing praises forever, because obviously our voices tire out now. As I think about some of the most precious times that maybe Betty and I have had to enjoy is with those who are on their deathbed or close to death, and to be able to sing praises with them and maybe even sing for a long time, as I think about even recently. And I think about being able to sing praises endlessly to Christ the Lamb. In Revelation 5, in verse 11, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down in worship. Do you imagine, as you think about being able to sing and sing with joy, what a day of rejoicing that will be? What about it? Can you sing with "He has filled my life with sunshine"? Or do we think just about the depressing and discouraging things that happen every day upon this earth? Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Christ shining in this dark world of sin, to whereby we can know the truth that will set us free from our sins. And we continually fill our lives, as we are filling our minds with the Word of God, as we are reading and meditating upon the Word of God. And it's daily our delight, as it helps us as we look upon the physical sunshine. Wow, you know, I think overall in the wintertime, we certainly have been blessed with mostly beautiful weather. And you think about sunshine every day, walking with the Lord. We should be able to say right now, present, active, "He has filled my life with sunshine." And you know what? He has made me what I am. We think about concerning maybe what our parents can do for us, or our spouse can do for us, or others and what they can do for us. But ultimately, any kind of energy or source of life is going to come from Him, from Christ. As we talked about, "I am the vine and you are the branches" last week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, the Apostle Paul could certainly say this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the chapter on the resurrection, after he said, "I'm the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God," he said, "but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." I know I recognize concerning some will say, well, the Apostle Paul is boasting. He is not boasting here. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Can't we say the same thing? Not as you think about the denominational concept, once you're saved, you're always saved, and God's grace is just going to cover all of my sins. No, the recognition is concerning all those sins in the past have been forgiven, and the example concerning His grace continuing to work in our life as we are faithful to Him because of His Word, because of His grace, because it's available to us. As Brent has mentioned in our Bible class this morning, the blood of Christ is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for us who are Christians, who are practicing righteousness. But if we slip and fall from time to time, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we can have a good conscience. We can have a sincere faith. We can continue to be faithful to Him, serving Him with joy. God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Our author of the hymn, "Oh, that everyone would know Him." That's hopefully our desire. That's what God's desire is. Hopefully that is our desire too, though, that everyone would know Him, so that we're going to spread the gospel wherever we possibly can, whether it's our friends or neighbors or loved ones in our communities. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul preached in Mars Hill. In Acts chapter 17, and in the midst of that, he said that they would seek God. These were idolaters, and they had this altar to the unknown God, and so he's going to tell them about him. He said that they would see God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children. As we think about concerning seeking after God, that everyone would seek after God, and we maybe think that some are hopeless. You look upon the Apostle Paul, some of the ones he's preaching to, well, looks hopeless, but the Apostle Paul changed from Saul to Paul, and he certainly looked like the most undeserving person for the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, talking about the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We notice over and over again concerning the Apostle Paul and how thankful he is. Even as he is suffering for the cross of Christ, he doesn't forget what Christ had done for us, and we can't forget either. And wanted all to adore him and all that would trust the love of the mighty friend above. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, notice it, with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You think about the Apostle Paul's life. What about our life as we think about concerning how much we have been forgiven? And yet, as you look upon the example of what the Apostle Paul went through, here we see the perfect patience of our Lord towards each and every one of us. And that we should trust the love of the mighty friend above and be his forevermore. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and light and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. Is he everything to you? Is he everything to me? As you look upon our lives, it was the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, we could look at many, many passages of the Apostle Paul speaking of what Christ meant to him. And in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul could have put confidence in the flesh, but he refused to do that any longer. Verse 7, he said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that was through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection for the dead. Brethren, is that our hearts and aim and goal and desire, that he is everything to me? Count all things but loss for Christ Jesus our Lord, and wanting to know the power of his resurrection? We think about the power of his word and the fellowship of his sufferings. And hopefully, as we look upon our lives, we want to attain with all of our being to the resurrection from the dead, which we know is going to happen. Yes, everything shall always be, and so I'll never cease to raise a song of gladness and praising him. In Psalm 89, the psalmist many times joyfully praising God. And this is one of the scriptures we'll look at, Psalm 89. Verse 1, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. In Psalm 71 in verse 23, Psalm 71 in verse 23, the psalmist said these words. He said, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 through 11, the apostle Paul speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, and notice it, and brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Jesus Christ overcame him who had the power of death, that is the devil. We might be free from the fear of death because of the resurrection from the dead, the precious friend who died for me, died for you. In John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15, Jesus speaking with his disciples when he said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you what? If you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. To be a friend to Jesus, who has loved us and has died for us on the cross, we respond to his love with obedience. Do you need to obey the gospel? Do you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins? If so, why are you waiting? Can have the forgiveness of sins. The great Redeemer loves you and died for you and wants you to go to heaven one day. But if you refuse and reject the gospel, how will you answer in the last day? We only have today. Today is a day of salvation. Obey the gospel or be restored. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.